So if a devotee is doing PhD, study will make you intellectual pleasure in general. And if we do any work well, we get some pleasure in that. So how can we ever get carried away or caught in that pleasure while practicing bhakti? There is spiritual pleasure, there is material pleasure. That is one level of separation. But again, that is not necessarily always an adequate level of separation. In material, there is sattvic, there is rajasic, there is tamasic. And sattvic is relatively favorable for bhakti. Tamasic is unfavorable for bhakti. So, within material, we can classify material, so at least sattvic, rajasic, tamasic as an example, that material can also have relations. So within material, we can separate things as pro-devotional, non-devotional and anti-devotional. Thakur, Chaitanya Shikshamrit, he discusses the question, what kind of festivals can a Vaishnava participate in? Because Vaishnava's heart is primarily Vaishnava festivals. You directly say, Jamashtami, God Purnima, things like that. But then he says, if a person is in Grihastha life, one may have to do other kinds of festivals also. So, for example, if there is Independence Day, if there are festivals which are based on socially desirable occasions, let's say Raksha Bandhan, or the festival which are talking about aparadham, about one's worldly duties, then those sort of things can definitely easily be done. And we do it in a mood that this is what is required for society to be in order, so that bhakti can be practiced. So the point I am giving this example of Chaitanya Shyamrit is, the Chaitanya Shikramat doesn't reject everything as material, everything material as wrong. This, that material which is at the level of sattva-guna, which is the level of aparadharma, that can also be accepted by anyone. A devotee doesn't let oneself be consumed by that, but a devotee can accept that. So, in general, we cannot live without pleasure. And spiritual pleasure takes time to get. So, when the spiritual pleasure takes time, so we want to give the lower taste doesn't just mean all material taste. It means adharmic taste. The taste in activities such as anti-devotional pleasures, like the violation of the regulatory principles and things like that. But for a devotee, in general, if one works according to one's varna, by varna I don't hear me necessarily just Ramanjitivishyata. He's talking about one's nature. The word varna originally comes from Sanskrit, which varna means color. So color not of skin, color of one's mind. That means one's mental disposition, one nature. So what that means is, when we work according to our nature, there are two things that happen. Guru Dharma Vibhagasha means, when we work according to our nature, we feel internally comfortable with it. And we are externally competitive. Internal comfort is guna, external competence is karma. So, when we do it that way, naturally we feel pleasure. And the process of bhakti is not that we have to make ourselves materially miserable to become spiritually advanced. No, that is not the process of bhakti. It is not that a brahmana who has no interest in money has to become a vaishya to become spiritually advanced. Or it's not that a Vaishya who really can't study Shastra deeply has to memorize thousands of verses so that he can become spiritually advanced. No, one of the most important messages of the Bhagavad Gita is Shriyan Swadharma Viruna Pradharma Adhushra. There are only two verses in the Bhagavad Gita that are repeated almost fully. One is Manmana Abha Madhbhakta Madhyadu, 9.34 and 18.65. And the only other word that is repeated is Shriyan Swadharma Viruna Pradharma Samishtita. So almost 3/4 of the words that I can take, only last part is 3.35 and 3.47. So what Krishna is saying is that do work according to your nature. And working according to nature, it just doesn't mean, because we live in a situation where what is once varana will vary. So what it basically means, we work according to something that is natural for us, and to be comfortable. So when Krishna says, Shriyan Swadharma Viruna, don't do your own dharma, don't do any of that, anyone else's dharma. That simply means that act true to your nature. So the shoe that fits one person bites another person. The shoe that fits one person bites another person. So no material formula is universal. What works for me materially may not work for another person materially. So if we find a particular kind of work very absorbing, very fulfilling, we should see that as Krishna's blessing. We don't see that as non-devotional or anti-devotional. We focus on, yes, while we seek the higher taste, we still need to give the lower taste. And what we could say that the taste that we get while working according to our varna, in our profession, working according to our nature, that we should call it a dharmic material higher taste. Even materially, a lower taste than a higher taste. That taste in Rajaguna and Tamaguna, it is a lower taste. And the taste in Satoguna are material higher tastes. So, a material higher taste can help us move closer to Krishna. Many, I'll give a provocative example for this. Many times when somebody sings the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in a very sweet tune, people get attracted to it. Now, who knows whether people are getting attracted to Krishna or to the music in it? We don't know, and we don't have to bother too much about it. It's broadly connected with Krishna, that's good enough. We bother, especially if a person is not a practicing devotee at all. That person has no connection to Krishna and has just come as a commercial performance and singing a tune. And I'm saying, that person will sing any song, I'll sing Hare Krishna. Then there will be very little effective devotional intention, and even the little content is there, the consequences will be very less. So at that time we are concerned, but otherwise we don't have to go into too much of a hyper-analytical mode. We focus on, yes, that we all need happiness in our life, and if we get a material higher taste, that protects us from material lower tastes, as we keep moving towards spiritual higher taste. The whole principle of Varnashram is that everyone has to face problems in life. Varnashram's expertise is that it allocates to people the problems they like to face. The Brahmana likes to do intellectual things. Yes, challenge. If a person is a Vaishya, he tells him, please find out where this works in the Bhagavatam. Why bother, you know? Give me a class without the words. Who is going to do this? if a Brahmana, we have to build a big temple for Krishna and we have to raise now 1 lakh rupees or 1 crore rupees. Why bother? Just study Shastra. Ultimately, what are you going to do for building a temple? You will study Shastra only. So why build a temple? So for both of them, the problem that they like to face are different. So but now what do you mean by problem that you like to face? I mean, see, we often say, don't see it as a problem, see it as a challenge. But a Brahmana cannot see fundraising as a challenge. He will see it only as a burden. And a Vaishya cannot see Shastric study as a challenge. He will see it as a burden. Like I once gave a class at about how, I was explaining how when I take lecture of the Rigvedas, unless I recite some verses, I don't feel any connection with Krishna. So I memorize verses, I recite verses, and convert those, offer those verses to prayer full mood. And that's how I feel an emotional connection. So I recommended this once, and after one devotee came to me. When I go for the meetings, I try to memorize verses, that causes me so much tension that I lose all something. So it will be, that person may not need verses, I need verses. So the different people may find different problems stimulating. And if we find particular material circumstances stimulating, if it is not in our dharmic way, we can use it. And we will not be competent in any field unless, very deeply competent in any field, unless we are comfortable with it. And in fact, most of the devotees who are able to do a lot of services are also devotees who have found their niche in their professional life. Yeah, they're doing well, not just in the sense that they're earning more or they have a big position.
Satisfied.
But they have got a job which they can do fast. They are good at it, so they can do it fast. And once they do it fast, then they can do the user in any time for marketing. So finding that niche, it is, I would say, our responsibility. Then we can actually be materially happy. Otherwise, you are always in a materially incompatible situation. Materially satisfied. And then, not only are we unhappy, but also we are unproductive. Or not as productive as we can, because we are struggling to do something which is just not our nature. So working according to our nature, if we have already found something which gives us satisfaction in material life, we should be grateful for that. What we shouldn't do is that think that this satisfaction can be a substitute for spiritual satisfaction. That is what I do lifelong and I can do this life after life after life. No, think like that. It's okay, I have this life, so I can do this right now. But this is so that I can be steady and I can move towards spiritual progress. Is that answer?